بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Actually, yeah, you're right. You did do the last one. I remember.
Okay, anyway. Welcome back to the Dean Tour podcast. In this podcast, inshallah, we're going to talk about why you need a relationship with God. So I posed this conversation to Osman because I remember seeing a post on Instagram where the brother was, obviously, he was talking about marriage, but nonetheless, he was saying why any relationship that you want to have has to be built on your foundation with God first. And why that's so important is because, for one, you can't see Allah, you can't hear Him, you can't feel Him. But when you believe in Allah, you believe in the unknown, you believe in the unseen, with full trust and without a doubt, that's what faith is, without doubt, right? When you believe in that and you establish the things that He loves, you stay away from the things that He hates, you sacrifice for His sake, you are loyal to Him. When things are bad, you're not going to turn away from Him, you're going to get closer to Him. Then this is going to show you how to do it with someone you can see, someone you can feel, touch, and you can develop a sort of relationship with this person that is beyond this world because it's done for the sake of God. When you build a relationship with someone that is for the sake of this person, when things go bad, what happens? You're going to throw them away. As soon as the slightest thing happens, the slightest inconvenience happens, now you're thinking of what it, like, you're going to spiral. This is where overthinking comes from.
Look, I'm going to tell you right now, that relationship that you have with Allah, the relationship that you have with God, it opens up many doors for you. It opens up doors of patience, joy, happiness, understanding, like longevity. Like, it opens up, because when I was growing up, I used to think to myself, in times of fun and like a lot of enjoyment, I used to think, this is going to end soon, I'm going to die and everything. Like, I used to be that type of person. Everyone's having fun, everyone's laughing, and I used to just think myself, I was like, dude, we're all going to die. Like, that's exactly how I thought. And like, my joy would just crash down. But the reason why I got so religious was because that belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that belief in a day of judgment, that belief that, like, you know, things, this is not a means to an end. Like, this is like a means to a beginning. Like, we live for another life, right? That really, it helped me, like, be grateful for my life and have fun living and enjoy the times that I had. It was that relationship and a love which allowed me to want to do better in school, and when it allowed me to do better and, like, start working out. Like, if all these things in my life that I started putting pieces together, it happened because I started recognizing that, you know, I have a creator, that, like, I'm not just here wondering, like, aimlessly going, you know, aimlessly going.
I want to remind you, like, a lot of us may have had that point in time where, like, our religiousness kind of took away from our life. Meaning, like, you're trying to establish, you know, the things that Allah loves, which means you think you have to give up your life for that. You have to give up fun. You have to give up everything because you're like, oh, this is all going to end one day. But really, that's a horrible way to live, because once again, you can't continue in that way. When you push yourself to an extreme like that, and I saw it for myself, I remember, like, my religiousness was at a point where my spirituality wasn't there. So, like, if your spirituality isn't in a place, you're going to understand that, like, especially when you learn, the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, he even discouraged that. He discouraged just thinking about things that that are fearful for you. Because the Sahaba would say, when we're with you, we're reminded of the day of judgment, we're reminded of Allah. So, you know, they have a healthy amount of fear and love and hope for the mercy of Allah. But then when they're away from that, they tend to forget, it slips their mind. So the Prophet ﷺ told them, there's a time for this and there's a time for that. Your family is an amanah on you, meaning you have to spend time with your family. Are you going to be thinking about the things that you fear and just being like, don't go outside because, like, something bad might happen to you or something? Like, no, you're going to overburden yourself. You're going to overburden the people around you. And it made me think about how with my relationship, like, to Allah, and why you have to have a relationship with God. I remember, like, your parents, when they teach you the religion or they teach you how to pray, they tell you to pray. So who are you praying for? Are you praying for Allah, or are you praying because your parents told you? Are you cleaning the dishes because your parents told you? Yes. But when you develop a relationship with Allah, when they tell you to clean dishes, you're like, I'm pleasing my parents, which means I'm pleasing Allah. If they tell you to pray, they're reminding you to pray. They're not telling you to do it. They're not going to force you to do it. Mm-hmm. But see, when you're younger, you don't really see these things. You don't see the intention. You can't really understand the state of your heart when you're younger, which is why it may be harder to adopt the acts of worship or develop a relationship with Allah, because you don't know, which is why Allah gives you this grace. He lets you understand that, yes, you should learn, you should do these things, but when it's fully upon you, when you're fully mature, that's really where it's going to fall upon you. And if the guidance doesn't come to you then, it's going to be hard for it to come to you after that. But
another perspective with just washing dishes. What about an instance when you don't want to wash the dishes? What happens when you don't want to listen to your parents? What happens when you don't want to do the right thing? No, you stop yourself in that moment. You're like, no, for the sake of Allah, I'm going to listen to my parents. For the sake of Allah, I'm going to do the right thing because I know that's right for me. For the sake of Allah, I'm going to do the right thing because I know Allah is watching me. Because that's another thing too. You're like, because I want you to imagine a time when, like, I don't know, for example, your parents told you to do something. You didn't really feel like doing it. But you're like, man, if I do it, Allah's going to reward me. And that's going to make my parents happy. And in the end, everybody's happy. You're happy because you know Allah saw you and is going to reward you for that. Your parents are happy because you did what you told them to do. And on top of that, Allah is pleased with what you did. Like, can you just imagine that? Like you went from not wanting to do something, fighting yourself, to it just becoming good all around for everybody. Now everybody's happy.
And that starts with the creator, though, because when your obedience starts to the creator first, meaning like even the actions you do, maybe mundane things that you do for your family or for another person or a stranger, you do them and you think, oh, Allah's going to be pleased with me for this. This is something that could be pleasing to Allah. I'm smiling at my brother and he smiles back to me. Don't belittle even the smallest of good deeds, as the Prophet Ali Sallallahu Alaihi said. So when you're doing these things and these are pleasing to Allah, you're going to be pleased by with the creation, because you have no idea how much Allah might love someone. They might not even be Muslim, but Allah might love them because He might guide them later on. We have no idea. Our concept of time is not the same as Allah's. Allah may guide anybody at any moment.
And here's the thing with Allah's love, it's unconditional. It's not conditional. Like, you're always going to want to do it because Allah's forever. You know what I mean? Like, you can't put Allah into anything, any box. He's not limited by time or anything like that. So it's like, anything that you're doing, you know it's going to be accounted for, you know it's going to be seen, and you know it doesn't go to waste at all. Going back to what you were saying, oh, I'm having fun right now, it's all going to come to an end and that's it. Mm-hmm. Versus now, whenever you worship Allah, you're like, all right, I'm going to see the fruits of this later on, or I'm going to be able to enjoy myself. Another thing, just talking about conditioning and unconditioning, what about times when we put a condition upon our own iman, right? For example, you're struggling with a sin and you're like, man, or you're going through a hardship. Matter of fact, forget even a sin. You're going through a hardship and you tell Allah, hey, if you get me out of this, I'm going to start praying, or I'm going to start making dua. Like, just think about it. You're putting conditions.
This is somebody's life right now.
No, like, just think about it. You're putting conditions upon Allah, when in reality, it should always be unconditional. Because here's the thing. You should be doing those things anyways. You should be praying anyways. You should be making dua anyways. You should be doing the things Allah wants you to do anyways. Not saying, oh, if this happens to me, then I'll do it. Because now, are you saying that Allah hasn't done enough for you to be able to worship Him and love Him unconditionally? Just think about that.
Dude, subhanAllah. It's crazy you say that, because before this podcast, I was telling Hussain the exact same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we love Him unconditionally. No matter what happens. Like, if you're a Muslim, no matter what happens, you have to love Allah. Like, it's not going to disappear. If you're a Muslim, you have to understand, whenever you get up to make salah, to make prayer, you say, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. Everything else is little. All the problems disappear. When you go and you bow to ruku, you have to really understand what you're doing here and have knowledge of what you're doing. You're bowing to Allah. When you get up and you go down in sujood, you're literally prostrating to Allah. He's your Lord. You're His slave. You're like, it's that. That's the relationship here, and it is unconditional. I don't care if you have negative numbers in your bank account. I don't care if you're missing an arm. The condition is not. It doesn't matter.
And that's the thing. You know your place. You know that Allah is the creator, and you know that you're the creation. And that's always a good thing to have. Like, I want you to imagine you're going through a hardship, right? And you might feel like something's wrong with you. You might feel weak. You might feel like you've done something wrong. But in the instance when you turn back to Allah, you're not belittling yourself. You're just saying, oh Allah, I'm weak right now. You know, you can grant me strength. You know, like, you know where it comes from. Like, for example, like, if you look at the example of Zakariya alayhi salam, like, he admitted to Allah, like, oh, like, my bones, like, from the inside, like, they become weak, and like, the hair on my head is like turned into gray. Like, he's been overcome by old age. But in doing so, he showed humility to Allah, and Allah was able to bless him. Or with Ayyub alayhi salam. Ayyub alayhi salam, he was very sick. You know, he came to him. He said, Arhamar Rahimin, like, you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. Acknowledging exactly who Allah is and where the strength comes from. Not belittling myself. Oh, I'm so weak, and I'm like, you know, I can't do anything. And like, you know, knowing the fine line, right? You know, from belittling yourself into understanding what your weaknesses are and where the strength comes from.
Sometimes it's not about having confidence in yourself, but having confidence in Allah. Mm-hmm. Having confidence that Allah's going to pull you out of whatever situation you're in. And like you said, you might have negative money in your bank account. You might be going through a hard time. You might have had to let go of someone that you love. But when you do go into ruku, you go into sujood, when those thoughts start to overwhelm you and like these things are overwhelming you, that's where your time to call out to Allah, to cry out to Allah is. Because that's the only one who can get you out of this situation is Allah. Allah may have put you in that situation for a reason. Like now that you're crying to Him, that was the reason. There you go. Now this is something that's going to bring you closer to Him. Because everything that is meant for you is always going to find you. And whatever is not meant for you is going to leave you at the right time.
And that's the thing. What you just said. You're going through that hardship, right? You're in there. You're making sujood, getting closer to Allah. That's a blessing from Allah. That's a gift. It doesn't matter whatever it is that you're going through. If it's good or bad, if it brought you closer to Allah, it's always a blessing. It's a gift, and vice versa. You know, I'm always going to say this. Whatever it is, no matter how good it looks to you in this world, if it drives you away from Allah, it's a punishment. It's a curse.
And you know, the crazy thing is, like, the way that I've been viewing, like, dua recently is, like, I never think a dua is, like, random. Like, I get the thought to make a dua, or, you know, I feel it in my heart and I'm like, dang, Allah, ya Allah, I want this for a reason. Like, you're not going to make dua to Allah if you're asking for something haram, something's wrong with you. But you're not going to make dua to Allah asking for certain things, especially like asking Him for whatever you want in this dunya or the akhirah, seeking His pleasure, seeking good in this life, good in your actions, in your intentions, and all these types of things. But that it's from Allah. This is inspired by Allah, meaning He's going to give you the tools to reach this thing, to achieve it some way, shape, or form, or better than it. And you have to really believe in that. Like, I try my best, and we're all going to try our best to think the best of Allah, but to think much better than you think what you think of Allah right now. Because if you feel that this dua is something that Allah inspired you with, believe that He's going
to
give it to you.
Yeah, Allah wouldn't inspire you to make a dua that He doesn't want to grant you. Like, that type of thinking.
Yeah, but no, I'm saying, like, I actually have that thought in your mind. Like, Allah, I made this dua for a reason. If Allah says, call upon me, like, I am near and I will respond to you. If He tells you He's going to respond to you, maybe the answer may not always be exactly what you're looking for, but also think about the other side of it. Don't just have tawakkul, have tawakkul. Tawakkul means to trust in Allah with your affairs after you've done your part, after you've taken action. Tawakkul means you're going to wait for the thing to fall out of the sky. Oh, Allah asked you for a spouse. I'm going to wait for the next person to come by me and be like, oh yeah, this is my spouse. But you didn't do anything. You didn't interact with anybody. You didn't go asking around your family. You didn't go to the masjid or whatever it may be. Like, how are you expecting Allah to answer you, your dua, or give you exactly what you want if you didn't do anything? Like, you're looking for a miracle. The miracle is that you made that dua to Allah. That's the miracle.
SubhanAllah. And one thing I want to like emphasize here is that when you make a dua, you're supposed to have belief in it. You're supposed to have iman in it. Just like, SubhanAllah, when you read the Quran, you have iman. Like, you believe in these words. You believe that, you know, la ilaha illallah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He's going to gather us all on a day, there's no doubt in it. Like, you believe in these words with full certainty. And people, they don't have, I don't know, my understanding of belief has kind of changed differently. I remember it was Muhammad Ali who said this, the boxer. He said that some people can see further than others. And due to their belief and their reasoning, some things can't be done. But in my belief and my reasoning, they think I'm crazy. And that's how some non-Muslims, they look at it. When you hear a Muslim talking, or even that's how they looked at the Prophet ﷺ. They called him a magician, they called him this, and they called him that. Because they couldn't believe, they couldn't see as far as he could see. They couldn't, you kind of have to understand, as a Muslim, you kind of got to look at the big picture. I feel like a lot of us, we fight over, or we argue over, or we emphasize the most, like, things that are worth my pinky. Like, that's what it feels like we focus on. But we never look at the big picture. We never look at unity. We never look at, you know, the long-term goal. That's kind of what we have to look at here. Muslims were, like, strategic, smart. The Islam is very keen on the preservation of knowledge and acting upon that knowledge, not acting upon instinct. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Dawood alayhi salam, don't follow your desires. Your desires are going to lead you away from the path of Allah. And that's the kind of what we have to understand here. We kind of have to think big picture. We kind of have to think long-term. We kind of have to remember day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge us for my actions. Okay, what good can I do today? What good can I do tomorrow? The next day, the next day, the next day. After a long enough period of time, what would you become if doing good every day?
That's the other thing. Like, yeah, even in this dunya, right? When you want to achieve something and you're hanging around people who constantly tell you all day that that is not possible, you're going to get that belief in your heart too. You're going to be like, man, that's not possible. Or yeah, maybe they are right. You're going to start doubting yourself. You're going to start doubting your potential. Versus when you hang around people where that's all you see is your goal, you're like, man, this is possible. And then just like the way that they describe it, like as if it's nothing to them. You see what I'm saying? You want to get to that type of level. That's what you want to be looking at. You don't want to be, you know, hanging around people who are like, man, do you really believe like there's a God out there and this and that? Or do you really think that you staying away from such and such is really going to put you in eternal paradise? Like, no, you don't want to be thinking like that. Like, yeah, in your du'as be delusional, because there is nothing like impossible for Allah. Like, I want you to understand that. Like, everything is possible for Allah. If Allah wills it, like, that's it. You know, it doesn't matter what, who, what, or when. Like, if Allah says it be, it is.
Yes. And wallahi, take it from us. Like, I used to be one of those people who are like, yeah, you're never going to make it. Like, we used to have those conversations, but it was really the belief from, like...
Matter of fact, it's not always just the belief. Sometimes you don't even believe in yourself. Because, look, remember, like, we were just having this conversation the other day, and I was like, man, if we were to talk about, like, where we're right now, like, a few years ago, I wouldn't even believe myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a problem.
And here's the thing, too. Like, when you talk about, oh, you're making dua, and you're very, like, you know, you really believe in the dua that you're making. Man, sometimes that feeling that I have afterwards is better than what it is that I'm asking for. I want you to think about it. I'm sitting here, I'm making dua for something that I really, really want. And just that feeling afterwards, like, oh, like Allah is really going to bring that to fruition, or he's going to give me something better. Like, that feeling to me has been better than the things that, you know, I've been gifted. Like, subhanAllah, like, wallahi, like, there's no better feeling. Like, when I first learned that, you know, the dua between the adhan and the iqama is always accepted. And I remember I was sitting there in the mosque, right? Actually, matter of fact, this was in Saudi, right? Mm-hmm. We were sitting in the mosque. And, like, I just learned that hadith, right? And I'm sitting in the mosque. And, I mean, I felt like I was going to get everything. And I'm like, Allah, subhanAllah, like, I really can't look back right now and just say I haven't got what I asked for. Like, that's crazy to even think about.
It's fine. I can't think
back. And that was, like, years ago, too.
I can't think back to a time where I was making dua and I don't have what I've asked for now. It may have taken some time. That's the thing. We have there's a Muslim epidemic of hastiness. People, we're not patient. We never think long term.
But why is that though? You gotta understand, like, what we're up against here. You're on social media all the time. You're on TikTok, mm-hmm. Instagram, you know, YouTube, looking for instant gratification. You're looking at other people's results around you. Here's the thing that I've always been told: never compare your page 100, your page 3 to someone else's page 100, because you just never know what that person took to even get there. Because mm-hmm. you might be looking at someone like, man, why am I not already there yet? But you don't know how many hours or whatever they had to do to get to the point that they're at now. And look at you sitting here comparing yourself. Like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like, he even advised us against this. He always advised us to look at people who are lower than us, right? So that we're more grateful and content with the things that Allah has blessed us with.
That's so facts, bro. And I want to bring something up real quick, because I remember, like, early in the episode, we were talking about like the example of your mom telling you to do the dishes. You guys ever are already going to do the dishes and your mom's like, go clean the dishes? So mm-hmm. now you're feeling like, I was already about to do it, so now you feel like you don't low-key don't want to do it. Uh-huh. Why can't you do that with Allah? Because although Allah made things obligatory upon you, he's not going to force you to do anything. Like, he already told you to pray. So, you, like, saying, oh, I was already going to do it, it's not going to do anything to you. You can't get angry at Allah for anything. Any hardship Allah sends your way, you can't get angry. That's why developing that relationship, learning that when a hardship comes your way, sometimes I look for the deficiencies in myself first. When something happens to me, I'm like, dang, what did I do wrong? Like, maybe I did something. It was me. It's never going to be Allah. Allah's too perfect. Like, why would Allah need to make something go wrong in my life to make him better? It's not going to make him better
exactly,
in the slightest.
Exactly. That's a perfect point. You got to understand here. Sometimes I'll get, like, I used to get angry at earth. Like, I used to get angry at the world. I used to be that type of guy. I'm like, why is this happening? Like, I get super angry, right? And I try to understand that, because it comes from a superiority complex. You think you're better than everyone else. You think you know more than everyone else. It comes from arrogance. And then it took me realizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most wise and the most knowledgeable. Like, what does that mean? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows things that I don't. Like, and at a point, so imagine, I want you to imagine, Usman knows more things than me. He'll see things that I don't see. He'll see a burning fire, and I'll say, oh, it's glowing, it's light, it looks pretty. But he knows that it burns. He sees things that I don't see. He knows more than I do. That's the essence. Like, you gotta understand, knowledge is so impactful. It literally, like, it can alter everything. Like,
man, just remember this. You know, perhaps you might love something that is bad for you, and you might hate something that's good for you. Like, that right there just sums up everything that he literally just said. Because Allah, yes, he's the most wise, and, you know, he's all knowing, right? So when Allah tells you to do something, or when he puts you into a situation, like, you got to understand, like, this is what's better for you. Like, you know, this is what's meant for you here. Like, like, nothing good ever just comes easy. Like, y'all ever notice that? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
nothing good happens on accident.
Bro, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe this is the answer to your dua. Maybe you asked Allah for something so elaborate. You were delusional, but Allah said you have to go through this hardship. Like, this is going to shape you into the person who's going to get the thing you just asked me for.
As a matter of fact, how about the reflection that you get afterwards? What about a time when you've been angry or you've been tested and the first thing that came out of your mouth was a curse word instead of, you know, astaghfirullah or subhanallah or something like that? Like, really check yourself in that moment, because you might think that you're doing so well, But then when you're put into a situation, you act completely different than how you thought you were as a person. And you know what I mean? Because, you know, anger is always going to cloud your judgment, right? And that's the thing, like what you just said, like another person might be able to see something from another perspective and, you know, tell you otherwise. And that's the thing too. Like, you're put into a situation, you're put into a hardship, and now you're not even thinking about Allah. And then you think afterwards, like, wow, why didn't I think of Allah in that moment? Am I really, like, the Muslim that I say I am? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just think about that.
And subhanAllah, every ayah I can think about, especially, like, we're in the days of Dhul Hijjah, just end, like, the first 10 days just ended, right? Every ayah I can think about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about Hajj, he's telling you to remember him. وَذْكُرُوهُ كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ. Remember him. Remember, remember, remember. Remember Allah. That's why you need that relationship with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam to establish prayer for his remembrance. What does that do for me? Like, I'm asking. Like, this is like a rhetorical question. What does that do for me? What, like, ask yourself, what does the remembrance of Allah do for me? And subhanAllah, when you remember Allah, everything gets put into hindsight for you. Everything. You got to remember, subhanAllah, sometimes it humbles, speaking from personal experience, it'll humble you. It'll make you understand that there's a bigger picture here. It'll make you understand that maybe something's got to change. It'll make you understand that, you know, subhanAllah, like, I got to serve my purpose here. Maybe I was wandering too far. Maybe it helps you understand that reflection. And that's when we speak about having a relationship with Allah, and that, like, that's something you need. Earlier, we were speaking about relationships with other people. You need, the first relationship that you need is the one with your creator. How are you going to have a relationship with anybody else? How am I going to have a relationship with my brothers and I be dutifully respectful to them and dutifully, like, trustworthy to them if I can't even fulfill my promises to Allah?
Yeah. Look, and that's actually so important, because the relationship with Allah, it goes beyond a relationship with another Muslim. It'll show you how to deal with non-Muslims, because you'll deal with them with care. You'll deal with them as though you still love them like your brothers, and you'll deal with them respectfully. How are you going to deal with the opposite gender? You're going to lower your gaze. You're going to think about Allah, even though I'm interacting with the opposite gender. Of course, there are boundaries. I have to be respectful. I have to keep a halal because I remember Allah. But if you're going about doing all these things, not remembering Allah, you're going to fall into things that Allah told you to stay away from.
Well, here's the thing. You guys summed it up perfectly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he only created mankind and jinn to worship him, right? And
we worship. Wow. I didn't hear what you said.
No, but just really think about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind and jinn to worship him, right? That's our purpose in life. Going back to the basics of this episode, you want to know why you should build a connection with Allah? Because that's our purpose. Mm-hmm. Like, us as human, there's not a single human being living, breathing, that has walked on this earth, that's sitting in the grave right now, whose purpose was not to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you got to also understand this, what you guys just said. When you worship Allah, this is what gives you purpose in life, right? For example, how to deal with people. Or for example, you start remembering Allah, all of a sudden everything else starts becoming meaningful. The sky becomes meaningful. The grass becomes meaningful. Your children become meaningful. Your parents become meaningful. Like, everything just starts to matter to you, right? And every little thing, like, you got to understand, like, there's not a bird flying in the sky, or there's not a leaf that's falling from a tree except that Allah knows about it, or that it happened by Allah's will. And your perspectives change. The things you start to remember, you know, change. You start doing things for the right reason. Like you said, you start acting right around the opposite gender in a way where it's respectful for yourself and respectful for them, in a way that, you know, makes, you know, the community happy, right? Had everyone followed Allah, like, you know, we'd be in, like, in a perfect type of world. But that's not what we're in. This is not the world that we're living in.
You want to know something? Speaking of a relationship with Allah, you have to also understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rights over you, and those rights don't belong to anybody else or anything else. Why do you fear temptation? Why do you fear other people when it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you're supposed to fear? Why? Like, those, when I think about a relationship with Allah, I think, like, if I were to ever come across something, like, for temptation, for example, or sin, for example, why do I fear that? I should fear Allah. I'm going to combat you. Like, it's not, like, everything that, you guys understand where I'm coming from here. Yeah. Why do I attribute Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rights to anything else? I don't associate nothing except with Allah. I don't associate nothing with Allah. That's the pure monotheism. That's the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you're supposed to have.
You know, I think it's very, like, interesting how we bring these things up, and how this relationship that you have to have, because if you don't have it, you really just don't know how to navigate life. Like you said, you don't have a purpose. Everything that you will want to do in life is going to come to an end. But with Allah, there is no end, which is why even the purpose of what you're chasing, why are you doing the good deeds? Of course, it's, you know, you have to worship Allah, but why are you doing them? You want Jannah, right? He promised you Jannah. He promised that by his mercy, you can enter paradise, this everlasting, eternal reward and pleasure. And if you thought that this life was going to be easy for that, like to attain that, then you're sorely mistaken. Even the things you want in this life, they're not easy. You ask Allah for these things, they're not easy. You ask Allah for Jannah, what do you think is going to happen? He's going to test your iman all day, every single day. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tested in your prayer, right? You might pray 5 times a day, but is every single prayer perfect? Is every single prayer, are you getting the full reward? Because the Prophet ﷺ tells us someone might get anywhere from the full reward to like an eighth of the reward. You're still rewarded, of course, alhamdulillah. But one, we don't know how much we're rewarded. And two, we don't know if it's accepted. And three, everything wavers on a daily basis. Your iman is not the same every single day. Just like the clothes you wear on a daily basis, they're not the same. You got to wash them. You got to renew them. You got to bring them back. You got to buy new clothes. So you got to bring, your iman has to be new every single day. And how do you keep renewing that? With the remembrance of Allah. That's why Allah says, indeed, with his remembrance, the hearts will find ease. Remember me and I will remember you. Allah doesn't tell you these things for no reason. I remember I started feeling this a lot more because I was like, I want to do more dhikr on my own will. I just want to do it. Shoot, like if I'm doing nothing, I might as well do some dhikr. And that's why now I have a tasbih app because I like to count it. I want to see my progress for the day. Obviously, there's times where I do it just with my fingers or I'm just walking around, you know, making istighfar or something, which is nice, alhamdulillah. But I've seen the whole difference within myself. For one, istighfar brings the most blessings you will ever think of in your entire life. Istighfar is like the key to everything. It will open every single door you ever want in your life. Gratefulness to Allah truly increases you because then you see even more blessings. Because one, istighfar, yes, it blesses you, but also grants you forgiveness, meaning your heart feels more secure, feel more content because you're like, Allah's going to be pleased with me if I constantly seek forgiveness and I acknowledge my wrongs. Being grateful to Allah, knowing that you cannot enumerate all the blessings that he's giving you, you just keep doing it. You just keep asking Allah. And what did the Prophet tell us? You can be grateful to Allah and get forgiven. You can say subhanAllah wa bihamdi, which is gratefulness, and you can still get all your sins forgiven for saying it 100 times. What the heck? Like, you're killing all the birds with one stone. That's how it feels. And subhanAllah, these things have like completely changed my life, and that is how I view continuing to build my relationship. Because I remember I was so fixated on knowledge, I didn't understand true application. Because maybe I saw one person or one way how to apply it, but then I realized Islam is not like, there are different interpretations that we can understand from. And I had to open my heart to accepting Islam in moderation, not going to extremes. I thought like if I did as much as I could, or I tried to learn as much as I could, but not necessarily understanding it, you know, then I'd be good.
You know, one of the biggest eye-opening things to me was in Surah Al-Fatir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقُونَ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ. And from among them, there are those like who are foremost in good deeds. Dude, in another instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Waqiyah, السَابِقُونَ السَابِقُونَ, the people who are far ahead. That really, like, it opened my eyes to a lot of things because there are people on earth, I'm speaking from the beginning of human time, Adam alayhi salam, till now. There are people on earth, there are people who wrong themselves, there are people who, you know, who are moderately good, and then there are people who are far ahead, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would put them in this category. Don't you want to be a part of that group where everything, you're good in your spirituality, you're good in your knowledge, you're good in charity, sadaqah, fasting, you're doing all, you're killing everything, bow, 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 you're killing everything. You're kind to your parents, you're kind to the people around you, your life. If when you truly follow the book of Allah and you try to stay your best to stay away from sins and you try your absolute best every single day, subhanAllah, look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with that. Forerunners, the people who are far ahead.
And let's give you some reassurance. This doesn't mean you have to 24/7 be doing like some sort of act of worship. Everything could be worship. Just think about that. But the reassurance I'm about to give you is like, think, seeking more forgiveness. How? It's not very hard to say astaghfirullah. You just got to feel it though, right? So it starts with your heart. Starts with the state of your heart and your intention, right? Exactly. Be mindful. Be mindful of when you're remembering Allah or when you're seeking forgiveness. And then also know how good character is in Islam. Know how blessed like good character is by Allah. And then also, obviously, your acts of worship. Try to establish them to the best of your ability. And these are things that can help you attain trying to be the foremost in good deeds. But never put yourself in that category. As soon as you put yourself in that category, you've probably flipped the switch and you might become a hypocrite.
Because here's the thing. You got to stay humble.
Exactly.
That's the thing. The humbleness will always keep you pushing, right? No matter how good that you're doing, you're always like, man, there's always room for improvement. Then you start to get arrogant. You start to get complacent. Then you're like, I'm already in a good place. You know, I'm good for now. Then after that, you know, you start feeling yourself fall off.
Yes.
And it's not even just regarding the deen. That's anything that you do in life, you know, really.
Yeah, it's kind of like the pious never go around saying that they're pious.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And like, you see, know the difference between the qualities Allah loves and the qualities He hates. Because a lot of us be focused on the qualities Allah loves. We understand that, right? He loves the patient. He loves the people who are focused in their prayers. He loves the people who guard their prayers. But do you know that He also hates the people who are arrogant? He hates the hypocrites. He hates people who are jealous and envious. He hates these certain qualities. So you have to seek forgiveness for if you've ever done it unknowingly or unknowingly. You have to seek refuge and protection in Allah from that, because if you do that, you're going to leave off the arrogance by seeking protection from it, because now you know I could be arrogant. But if you don't think you need that protection, you're arrogant.
See, there's the thing. Exactly. There's a cure to everything. You know what I mean? There's a solution to all your problems.
And the solution starts with Allah.
Exactly.
So with that, inshallah, that's going to close out this podcast. Hope you guys took some benefit, inshallah. Let us know, you know, any of your thoughts or concerns or anything like that in the comments, especially on YouTube, inshallah. We'll be reading all the comments. But with that, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Appreciate you guys for watching us. Make sure to share this with your friends and family. You never know whose life you can change by sharing this video. We're still students. We're not any scholars or anything like that. So make sure you guys correct us if we said anything wrong. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was one of my favorite podcasts. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.